And all of a sudden, I was able to support myself, even though everybody had nothing. Maybe this is going to be weird, but I was talking about the parable of the fishes and loaves. I'm an atheist, but I really appreciate that story as...
good mythology is good mythology. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I really appreciate that story less as like kind of... This miracle that happened where Jesus, you know, multiplied fishes and loaves. But what he's saying is if you have, you know, a lot of hungry people and, you know, 10 fish, you can still feed everybody. You can still multiply the fish if you all share. So you have 1 acre of land and you have one person, then you're only working with 1 acre of land. You have 1 acre of land and 10 people, then you have 10 acres worth of work. So, I mean, it sounds a little abstract, but what I'm really trying to say is that, you know, the way that society functions right now, the way that we interact with our neighbors, the way that we help each other out when we're hungry or when we're, you know, needing a place to rest our heads, those are very tenable direct actions that are going to be the way that we survive. And it's going to be the way that we move forward into the future and create a new society. I mean, we don't even need to create it. We already do it.
And we did create a society there. But my problem still is, as we all experienced in the park, in terms of conflict, you stated that we don't need the state. We don't need police, for instance, as structures. There were personalities that we simply couldn't deal with in the park. There were people with medical conditions, mental conditions that we were not capable of dealing with, and we had to adjust as a community. Now, one might argue that we were adjusting to these things and that if we had been able to stay in the park, we might have found solutions or found new structures to deal with these very problems. However, we did not solve them. What then does society look like? Back to Amin's question, what does society look like with an autonomous society where we acknowledge the individual and the collective, but we have personalities who need further assistance or who need special attention?
I don't know, right?
We didn't solve it.
But that's, well, and the point is never that we'll be able to solve it once and for all. The point is that we need to have the freedom to be able to solve it for ourselves. We need to have that. The reason it didn't work in the park was because the park was an occupation. It was a direct action, but it was also very, very symbolic. And I would argue never sustainable, never meant to do anything but like inspire people and show people that it's possible. But it was very transient, open, all-inclusive, right? There were these characters that you're talking about are, I mean, when you open the wounds of society, you get what's, you know, you get hurt, right? Like that's pain that's coming out. You give people free food, you get the hungry, right? You give people free clothes and a place to sleep, you get the homeless. You get people that have been totally disenfranchised. And these are huge, huge issues, but we'll never be able to figure out, you know, what the positive program is, like what the structure will look like that'll save us all. You know, what I argue is that we need to start looking at the communities around us, our families, for instance, our chosen families, our neighborhoods, our boroughs, much, much smaller, right? Our workplaces, and really care about each other there and really set up sustainable communities there, right? Because everybody has their issues. Everybody, you know, everybody has needs and wants and boundaries. How many of those needs and boundaries and wants and desires do you know from the people around you every day? That's why I was also saying decentralization. You know, we'll never be able to solve it with a park. We have to have neighborhoods. We have to have hospitals. We have to have schools. We have to have these communities really looking at themselves and saying, okay, how do we sustain each other? And I'll never be able to answer that question for anybody other than myself and the maybe the community that I you know, live in or work within or, you know, or my family or so on.
That concludes part one to this two-part interview with Susan E. Stay tuned next week for part two. Once again, this is Occupy Wall Street Radio, heard Monday through Friday, 6:30 p.m. here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and WBAI.org on the web. And if you enjoyed this type of programming, show your monetary support by calling 212-209-2950. Once again, the number is 212-209-2950. Your help is greatly needed and much appreciative.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI New York. The time is 7 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. On Hilly Bomb for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. On Hilly Bomb.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening. Joined tonight by Mike.
Good evening.
Dot Rhett.
Hello.
Rhett Hack.
Hello.
And Kyle.
Hey.
In from Seattle.
Yeah.
Down in Philadelphia, Bernie S.
Greetings.
And, we are in week number 3 of the spring fundraiser, 3 of 4. We're not on next week. We'll be on the following week to conclude it all. And this week, as promised, will be completely different from last week. Because we don't believe in repeating ourselves.
Except last week.
What?
Except last week.
Well, we didn't repeat ourselves last week.
We don't believe in repeating ourselves.
Oh, okay. You repeated that. I see. That's funny. That's good. Yeah, well, we believe in things like that. But no, last week we did sort of repeat ourselves, but it wasn't quite the same thing. We had Steve Rombaum on for 2 hours the first week. Last week we had some premiums left over. We also had Jello Biafra. We did not have him the first week. This week, however, completely different. We don't have any of that. We have new things for people.
Better?
Well, no, I'm not gonna, you know, say what's better and what's not better, but it's different. It's just very different because we have all kinds of different things going on. We've got conferences to plan. We've got magazines to put out. We've got radio. We've got all kinds of hacker-related things that are happening. So it's an interesting world, and we want to reflect that with the premiums that we offer during the fundraisers, but also in the content that we offer on those occasions when we're not asking for money.
Emmanuel.
Yes.
I just want to point out we also have a lot of good friends who are willing to donate their products and services to keep this radio station on the air.
And we're going to be hearing from one of them a little bit later on in the program. Yes, what Bernie says is quite true. There are many people out there that put their money where their mouths are, and we hope that some of them are out there listening tonight because that makes all the difference. Well, let's start with any breaking news. Mike, I believe you had some breaking news.
Byron Sunny was acquitted.
Well, that's fabulous news.
And it's really a shame we didn't cover his trial while it was
ongoing.
Who
exactly is... Yeah.
He's a Canadian, lives in Toronto, and...
I did hear about this.
Yeah, see?
I did hear about this.
You should hear... I don't know if you heard about it on this radio program, but you should have.
No, the Canadian who lives in Toronto. I heard about
Canadian
it.
Canadian who lives in Toronto. And around the time of the G20, which was a couple of years ago at this point, he decided to see, you know, how the security was set up. And what he found out was that it had some holes in it, but that if you look at this security too closely, you'll get arrested. He spent a year in jail awaiting trial and then another year on bail. His wife divorced him as a result of all this, and the Crown, as they call it, the prosecution, made up all these things. They said he had explosives, which he didn't, and at the end of it, he's acquitted.
Well, Bernie, they said you had explosives, which you didn't, too. That's a pretty serious charge to charge somebody with explosives when they don't have it.
Yeah, when they always trot out the scary stuff, like, oh, we think he had explosives, when it's not, you know, in my case, they said, well, we believed he had a C4 plastic explosives in my basement, and while testing proved it was turned out it wasn't, the fact that it might have been concerned them greatly. So that's the kind of stuff that they do when they don't have anything on you. It's crazy.
It definitely is, and you have to... wonder where their heads are at, and also where the heads of the judges are at that allow this kind of thing. It's incredible. So, okay, so charges were dropped.
He was acquitted. He was acquitted.
Okay.
The judge wrote this very long brief explaining why basically everything the Canadian government said was not actually evidence of a crime.
Mm-hmm. And any good quotes? Anything that admonishments maybe of the prosecution? We always like to hear those.
You know, there weren't a whole lot of admonishments. There was just this very long, methodical decision explaining exactly what he did for the, you know, year or so that he was accused of committing crimes, and explaining that, nope, that's not a crime.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, hopefully less people will be charged with things that aren't crimes in the future. It would be very nice to know that.
We can hope.
Well, yeah, perhaps naively. So that's a bit of good news. Anything else? Any bad news? Or any?
I have more good news.
More good news.
More good news.
I don't think you've ever had two pieces of good news.
It's rare. The Pirate Party, for the second week in a row, got elected to a state parliament in Germany. So they're now in a total of four.
I thought they ran the government by now.
Not quite.
Over there, they get power. It'll be good news when we have a single Pirate Party person elected here.
They got about 8% of the vote in North Rhine-Westphalia, which is the most populous state in Germany.
Okay.
And so they'll have some seats in the parliament, or the state parliament.
Okay, well, it's something. It's progress of a sort. So that's good to know. Anything else?
I have no more good news.
Right. Anything from Pennsylvania, Bernie? Any developments of any cases we're watching or activities?
You know, I've been distracted lately, so I'm going to have to pass this on to you folks. I have no news.
Okay,
that's not like me.
No, we've been very busy with all kinds of other things. So, Dotret, you have something. You're raising your hand. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, obviously, as people can tell, this has been a bit of a slow news week. But
not necessarily. It's just that we weren't paying any attention.
Well, as far as, you know, the computer world goes, I'm going to make that supposition. Anyway. There are some charges that have been going out for, the Rupert Murdoch quote-unquote hacking case.
I did hear about that. Yeah. There are some arrests again, and I hear they keep calling it a phone hacking scandal. There's no real hacking involved.
At most, it would have been social engineering in terms of hacking, but I don't even think you would say that, because I think they, you know, I don't know, they knew someone that had
bribery.
Some sort of access?
Bribery, yeah, and bribery has nothing to do with hacking, as far as I know.
It's basically they're just like lying.
Lying, yeah.
That's bribery. That is the term we would use.
Yeah. So people were hauled into court, I guess, and then that story just never seems to die.
Well, I was actually a little happy to see that to some degree. I was a little worried that some other big news was going on in politics in that part of the world might have made people forget about, mm-hmm. you know, this sort of thing, and this it was serious, and you know, people should pay attention, and
mm-hmm.
hopefully anyone who's done wrong might actually maybe justice will pay attention.
Well, everyone's done wrong, you know, we're all guilty of something.
So. I have nothing to say.
All right. Well, speaking of that part of the world, we're going to be in. Kyle and I will be in that part of the world next week at this time. In fact, we'll be over there looking for. Well, you know, we figured the United Kingdom. There might be some examples of surveillance there. It's a long shot, but we think that maybe for the next hacker calendar, whose theme is surveillance, there might be some examples of surveillance in the United Kingdom. I've since been told that, what, you're crazy, you're not going to find anything over there, I don't know. We're going to look around, and if anyone has suggestions on examples of surveillance, not just cameras pointing at people, we know about that, other things, you know, microphones maybe in various places, or sensors, or all sorts of, I'm sure we can think of examples.
Or really cool cameras.
Really? Really cool cameras. Okay, fine.
Yeah, we have a short list of ideas that we might pursue when we're out there, but we're interested in making that list a lot longer. And basically, the types of things that don't involve a camera, because the cameras are really a great example of surveillance, but it's pretty common. We want sort of the counterintuitive, the stuff people haven't really thought of or that's salient that you don't really think is surveillance, but then, you know, when you really think about what it's doing, it's like, wow, that is kind of watching or collecting information that I'm not particularly interested in sharing.
That is true.
That kind of stuff.
And also, well, a camera, I guess if you don't see it, you don't know it's there, and you say, oh, by the way, there's a camera in that picture. And that's cool if you can do that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about telescreens or something like telescreens?
Are you venturing into the world of fiction or
no,
real telescreens?
They don't really use that word per se in real life, but they basically are screens that, you know, watch you and...
screens that watch you,
and they might modify the content they display. It's new.
There's this company that's rolling out in a bunch of bars. I think this week in San Francisco and in other cities in the U.S. That actually uses cameras to identify the gender and ages of the people in the bar, and based on that, it basically publishes it to some feed so that if you're on a mobile app, you can say, oh, in this bar, there's this composition of people, and in this bar, there's another one, and then you can go to whichever one suits your fancy. So I heard about that this week, and that's actually pretty scary if you want to tell you more about
that. What if somebody is on a list of people that they're trying to track down? Would they be able to do that pretty easily?
I don't think it's actually doing identification of people. It's using algorithms to... There are, you know, different algorithms that can be used to determine gender and kind of age ranges. So it's not identifying people. But the fact of the matter is that it's not something that you opt into. I mean, you opt into it by walking into the bar, and so it's something you don't have control over.
Can I fool this system?
Wearing an anonymous mask or something?
Well, yeah. I'm sure you could. I mean, you could always wear a hoodie with IR LEDs or paint things on your face to break the identification algorithms.
So it looks at my face, and it's not about my clothing, but about my face.
Yeah, it's about your face, yeah. Hmm.
Interesting. Okay, well, if you have ideas for any bits of surveillance that Kyle and I should track down while we're in the UK, please write to us, oth@2600.com, and let us know where we should go, and maybe we can meet with you or something at some point if we have time. We'll see. We're planning on going to, you know what Menwith Hill is? You know what that is? That's like NSA of it. Yeah, yeah. You're envious, aren't you, Bernie?
I wanted to go there. They actually had, I don't think they still have it anymore, they had one of the infamous Wollenweber antennas there, also colloquially known as the elephant cage.
Okay.
It's a massive antenna. It's like a whole bunch of really long poles that stick way up in the air in a circular pattern. So they call it an elephant cage. But what it was made used for, and there was a handful of these across the planet that were all networked by the National Security Agency as part of the Echelon system for direction finding of shortwave signals. But various intelligence agencies are kind of shifting away from shortwave, or have been for quite a few years now. So I don't think there's a Wollenweber antenna there anymore, but they used to have one at Menwith Hill.
Before we move on, I just wanted to go back and say that the name of that company is called SceneTap, and so you can look up on their website what bars they have their system in case you don't want to go to those.
Mark, I just want to say, I hope people use that to like find people that are different than them, because I could really see people just hanging out with more people like them. It's kind of boring, but
yeah,
no, that's cool. Yeah, it's an interesting... idea for clothes. So.
All right. Well, that's a little bit of what's going on, the technology that we're surrounding ourselves with. Kyle, you know, you just flew in a couple of days ago, and this is unusual for us. You flew first class.
Yeah.
You upgraded to first class. And you notice any weirdness with security, perhaps, or just the way they treat people differently? I understand they give people sharp implements and things like that.
They stopped using metal silverware and stuff in first class after 9/11, but apparently they have it now. So I had a fork and a knife and a spoon and like real silverware and stuff, uh-huh. which I thought was cool, and real glasses. You know, if you wanted to break a glass and make some sort of shank.
Did you stab anyone?
You know,
anything.
He attacked an old woman.
Okay.
I dropped a full like 32-ounce water bottle on this like aged woman. And I thought I broke her hip or something.
She could be listening now because she landed here, and maybe she's turned on the radio. Do you want to apologize publicly to her for bludgeoning her with?
Well, I think the sentiment was communicated, but absolutely, I would like to apologize for being so clumsy and in a rush.
Well, because Kyle was rushing, I thought the plane was going to leave an hour later than it actually did. So basically,
yeah, but I don't miss connections.
You made an entrance into first class that was not forgettable, and that's how it should be, I think. But no, it is interesting how they do give real silverware to people in first class because I guess they trust them more.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
The rest of us get plastic and play school type devices.
But as far as other like security things, I would notice. I don't know. I was there very late, and I was sort of impressed that all my bags made it. They didn't hold anything up. You know, if I only gave them 45 minutes to check things, all my bags had notes in them from the TSA, so they obviously opened stuff. And I packed a bike too, so
yeah, you brought your bike, and they actually opened that box.
Yeah, I brought a lot of stuff, and it was all gone through. But I was amazed at how quickly they did it, and then it all made it in the same flight. And there wasn't any really like. I think it was more annoying when I went through security. They were trying to get everybody to do backscatter, and I did my typical like opting out with the film thing. And I had like 8 of those tubs, you know, like the whole conveyor belt full of security stuff, and then like all my boots and everything that I walked through the metal detector. And then I did the hand inspection, but they were already busy. It took probably like 4 TSA people to deal with me to go through security.
That's the way it should be.
Which is awesome. Wow. And then lastly, I guess I noticed. I lost my train of thought.
Well, you had the TSA surrounding you and basically paying all this attention to you because of all your tubs, and you were going first class, backscatter. Everybody was using backscatter?
Yeah, they're trying to shove everybody through the backscatter X-ray machines, and a woman in front of me opted out, and I was like, yes, me too. And so he's like, yeah, I need 2 times 2.
Okay, let's let our listeners know. Backscatter is basically, how can you tell when you see the backscatter coming at you? How do you know?
It looks
it's
like
a big machine.
Yeah, it's like
it's big and usually round. Okay. I mean, if it's not a metal detector and you have to hold your hands above your head, that's the backscatter.
Okay, so if you see that, you can opt out of it. All you have to say is, I don't want to go through that.
And then they pat you down.
Uh-huh. And maybe invasively?
Yeah.
All right. And that's your choice. You have that choice to either go through that or not.
So, yeah, there's 2 models. One is very round, has some glass. It looks like a tube. The other types you'd see look like old, big, mini computers, like big rectangle boxes. And you have 2 on each side, and you kind of pass through them.
And by mini, you just mean not room size.
Not room size, exactly. Like 2, like, half refrigerators. They're like rectangle, tall rectangle boxes. But, the old definition of mini computer. And then the last security thing I noticed is something that has probably been talked about a lot is the lines forming around the cabin. They were really strict about that on this flight. And, like, people would try to come up and use the lavatory. And especially, like, when the captains would take their break and use the restroom, like, they had 2 attendants, like, 1 in the galley, like, 1 would go in the cockpit, and, like, all that stuff. They were really strict about it.
I saw that, too. I was on an international flight a few weeks ago, and... And the captain wanted to come out, so they basically took one of the what are they called? The thing that they use to serve the food, the dolly kind of thing that they roll around.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they use that.
The word is cart.
The cart. Thank you.
Wow.
And they blocked basically the whole front of the plane with that, and then the captain came out, and the flight attendant went in, and.
I saw a little of that, too, yeah.
I was surprised, Kyle, by what you said about the way the separation between first class and the rest of the plane was, that you could actually feel the person in back of you. You were the very last row of first class, so you were at the bottom of the rung of first class, but you could actually feel the person's foot in back of you from coach trying to feel a bit of first class. And
well,
I just think that's just unacceptable. There should be some kind of a barrier there that is impenetrable, and that's just not right.
Right. One other thing about the blocking the forward cabin is that you were not allowed to get out of your seat. If you were in the front row, you could not stand up at all while the stuff was going on with the captain using the lavatory and stuff like that, which I thought was interesting. Like, you could not get up and get something out of your bag.
When couldn't you get up?
You could not stand up while they were blocking the forward cabin because the flight deck was using the lavatory.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so it was like you could not move. You'd have to stay in your seat to wait for that to happen and all
where
that.
Where was I recently but, where they – I was in the front of an airplane. They were holding up a curtain to block view of the cockpit because the pilot wanted to use the bathroom.
Right.
And no, there's a combination on the door.
Well, yeah,
I saw the combination because they were very sloppy holding the curtain over it.
Right. And then they have the intercom and all that, and the captain talks to the flight attendant there, and then they eventually, you know, let him back in and stuff like that. But the guy sitting behind me, that was really weird. I felt like he had his fingers or like his feet like kneading right in the little crack of the back of the seat. I was just like really uncomfortable. I kept looking around like, what is going on?
That's how the lower classes infiltrate and occupy first class. You got to watch for that.
I remember when I was a kid and you used to get to go look in the cockpit.
Yeah, those days are over, Red Hack. You're not gonna be looking in there.
All you had to do is ask, and if you were a child, they let you.
Actually, it's very interesting. In August of 2001, rather, I don't know if people remember this, but we were actually doing radio. I was stuck in Belgium, and there was an airplane that I was trying to get on that kept having problems. They kept trying to start it, and they would lose all power. And it's kind of disconcerting when you're on a plane that's about to take off when it suddenly loses all power and people have to shout announcements. And they say, okay, everything's fixed, and then it happens all over again. So people were saying, you know what, I want the next flight. Don't trust this plane. It took me a while to get to that stage. It took me maybe 45 minutes to say, oh, yeah, this is ridiculous. But while that was going on, they were offering anybody who had doubts about the plane's safety to come into the cockpit and check it out themselves. This was August 2001. Only lasted another month. After that was not possible.
What do you check? If they let me into the cockpit, I would have no idea what to look for.
I don't think they allowed you to play with the dials or anything like that, but they let you look around. And that was really, even then, that was surprising to me.
I think it would be funny if they had a vote, like if people felt like, who really feels like this plane's the one, like should we maybe, you know, we'll turn
there,
around if we get consensus.
There,
like,
was
what
a
is
vote,
it, 60%?
And I think about 40% of the plane left, and I eventually was one of them too. I wound up stuck in Belgium for 3 days, but worse things can happen. Hey, you know what, we can talk about this all hours, let's first run down what we're offering tonight, because it is rather special, and we are in fundraising mode. We have to be in fundraising mode because if we don't ask for money, then the station doesn't stay on the air, and then we can't have these delightful conversations. Okay, so to make it quick, we have two packages tonight. All right, we talk about hackers and people who build things, people who make things. They're called makers, they're called builders, they're called hackers, they're called all kinds of things. What we've done is we've assembled about 20 DVDs from the 8 Hope conferences that have taken place since 1994. And to give you an example, back in 1994, there are a couple of interesting discussions, one of which has Bernie S. in it. It's all about TDDs. What does TDD stand for, Bernie?
Ooh, it's a telecommunications device for the deaf, and they're also sometimes known as TTYs.
Yeah, and back in 1994, I guess the technology was a little bit different, but much of this remains relevant today, and it's just interesting to see what it was like back then. There's also a panel that we've added to this package called the cellular panel, and you can imagine cellular phones back in 1994 was very different from what it is today. But we also have from all the other conferences, for instance, the Next Hope, the one that just took place, how to bring your project from idea to reality, making a living doing what you love. I believe that's one that you picked out, Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it's. I think Mitch Altman is in that one.
Yeah,
right?
That's actually a talk by Mitch Altman about sort of the progression of some of the projects he's done through his company Cornfield.
And Mitch actually is going to be joining us. I don't know how you could have known this, but Mitch is going to be joining us this evening in just a few minutes as part of the rest of what we're offering tonight. And you also picked a talk called Circuit Bending by one Jimmy Rogers.
Yeah, that also is a very, very good one and was quite entertaining. Had a lot of live demos and artists, like pretty cool, like musicians and stuff like that, are involved with the circuit bending community, which is kind of hardware hacking.
Now, from
what does that mean?
I'm sorry, what?
What does that mean, circuit bending?
Good question. Yeah, it's basically taking like toys and like instruments, noisemakers, consumer electronics, things, mainly toys, and then like modifying them, soldering in various electrical components, and then making them do different things or altering the sounds so they're not like these original content.
Connecting up parts that aren't, you know, that weren't connected in the original circuit that may produce interesting results, you know, because of the signals getting
crossed.
Right, you're
bypassing parts of the circuit. Right.
We don't have enough time to go over all this because there are just so many different talks that we're giving away here. We also have from H2K2 2002, we have talks on access control devices, a hardware question and answer session, magical gadgets, the profound impact of yesterday's not-so-trivial electronics on our digital world, proximity cards, retro computing. From Hope Number 6, Citizen Engineer, Consumer Electronics Hacking and Open Source Hardware. Another Mitch Altman talk from the last Hope in 2008, Hacking Cool Things with Microcontrollers. We have a Hardware and Electronics Question and Answer panel from 2000 from H2K, Telephone Systems of the World, hosted by Bill SF, a keynote address by Steve Wozniak from the 5th Hope, another retro computing panel. over 20 DVDs for a $75 pledge, 212-209-2950. It's really a great way to get introduced to the hacker world and just see some of the things that, that people have been building and playing with over the years.
And that retro computing panel from the Fifth Hope, I picked that one, and it's really interesting because Steve Wozniak actually participated in that.
That's right. He sat in on
and
that.
And so, you know, you have Steve Wozniak who basically helped found the personal PC from, you know, and built the original ones from scratch, talking about, you know, the history of all that. So
for a call to 212-209-2950, a pledge of $75, you get over 20 DVDs of really, I guess, kind of a microcosm of the hacker world, just all these different devices and toys and projects that we've been involved in over the years. There's no better way to get introduced, I don't think, right?
Yeah, it's a good primer to a lot of the projects and some of the attitude behind looking at devices and technologies in sort of peculiar ways and trying to modify them and make them do things that you'd like them to do and unintended things. And also, you might find yourself, if you got these and you went through them and watched them, you might get really excited about these kinds of events, and you might find yourself hanging out with hackers and getting involved and you know, doing fun things yourself.
Absolutely.
Getting inspired.
And there are so many hacker spaces that have come into existence since these talks have taken place. We've really seen the birth of a movement, the birth of all kinds of people getting together, working together on projects. And again, we have the conference coming up in July where more people will be getting together and making more such talks and trading information and things like that. So it's an incredible world to be exposed to. If you know somebody who perhaps is interested in this as well, it's a great gift. Over 20 DVDs for a pledge of $75, 212-209-2950. Okay, we also have a second deal here, and this is really pretty incredible too. This is something that we offered once in the past, and boy, did it go fast. So we have to see if the same thing happens tonight. This is for a pledge of $125. We have, and Bernie, please correct me if I'm wrong here. I think I'm going to name it right, but I'll probably get it somewhat wrong. This is what's known as the Super TV Begon Pro. Did I get it right?
Well, you're close. It's the official name of this awesome device is the TV Begon Pro Super High Power Gen 5.
Okay, yeah, I wonder why I didn't remember that. Okay, well, can I just keep saying the Super TV Begon Pro, because that's what's written in front of me.
Mitch is going to get it straight.
Okay, Mitch is going to be on in a little while. We're going to call him in a little while. But before we do that, we're going to actually talk to somebody who makes use of this device quite a bit. Now, let's just explain what the TV Begon Pro, well, what any TV Begon is all about. It's about turning off TV sets in various areas, public areas, or schools or stores or all kinds of places where you're basically subjected to this constant drone of people talking at you, whether it be Oprah or Jerry Springer or some sports or news or commercials or whatnot. It just is pollution, and if you want to turn that pollution off, you have the ability. Now, TV Begon came out years ago. We'll ask Mitch about this later on in the show. But it used to have, you know, a fairly good range. You could turn it off inside a room. What we're offering tonight is something that can turn off TVs from, 100 meters away? Is it more than that?
I think it's about that. Which is a football field, if you know how long that is.
It's far. You ever see a TV set on the other side of a football football field you really want to turn off? Now you can do it.
Yeah. So basically, for any distance range that a TV could possibly annoy you, you should be able to hit it.
Okay. So the phones are lining up now. 212-209-2950 for a pledge of $125. You will get one of these Super TV Begon Pro devices that can turn off TVs from a great distance. And, you know, this is kind of my thing. I like to turn on TVs from a great distance, too. So if someone's TV set is off and you turn it on, they get just as perplexed as if it suddenly goes off. But it's mostly useful in those places where you're just confronted with this cacophony of noise and flashing video. That's just, nobody asked your permission to throw this in your face, and you can just turn it off.
It's really not even noise sometimes. In a lot of places, there are just TVs that are on that nobody's watching.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 212-209-2950. Again, for a pledge of $75, you get the 20 DVD set of Hope builders and makers and hackers and all kinds of cool things like that. For a pledge of $125, you'll get one of the exclusive Super TV Begon Pro devices that has an official name that we'll say again later. That's for a pledge of $125, 212-209-2950. I should point out, we don't have a whole lot of those. So the first people who call in are the ones who are going to get them. Now, joining us on the phone right now from Long Island is our friend Scotty. Scotty, are you there?
Yep.
Now, Scotty, you're 11 years old, and you have had a TV Beyond Pro for a while, and I understand that you've made some pretty good use of it, have you not?
Actually, I turned off a TV in a restaurant.
Okay. And what happened after you did that?
People turned it back on.
They turned it back on. And then what did you do?
After a while, I turned it off again.
Okay. That's what you have to do, yes. Now, I have found that when you do that, when you're in a restaurant, you turn off a TV, and then they turn it back on, then you turn it off again. It'll take them a little longer. They'll turn it back on a second time. But if you turn it off a third time, they will give up. They will not do it a third time.
Yeah, I've discovered that.
That's the rule. It works everywhere.
Sometimes I have to do it about 10 times.
Oh my! Wow, that's pretty good. That's dedication. So have you used it anywhere else? Maybe with your neighbors or your school or anything?
Doctor's office.
Doctors, you know, that's a great one. That's a great one. I used mine in a doctor's office, too. I'll tell that story later. But, wow. So what was the effect when you did that?
They replaced the TV.
They thought the TV was broken and they replaced it?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
How long was this doctor wait that they replaced the TV while you're still there?
People assume that they do that. You know, we turned off a whole bank of TVs once up by Rockefeller Center. They have them, like, blaring out to the street. And they replaced some of those TVs. I think they thought they were broken.
You know, does the TV Beyond work for, like, super screens that are, like, on New York City buildings?
No, because they don't have, what's the thing called?
They don't have remote control.
Infrared.
Yeah, infrared. It's got to have an infrared device in order
Maybe
to...
Maybe you should make one for that.
Well, someone can design a massive screen for a side of a building that has an infrared sensor on it, and they're able to sell that to a building. Yeah, I'll be happy to turn it off. It would be nice if we could turn off Times Square. But, you know, there might be some things that you can turn off. And have a lot of fun. So, Scotty, let me ask you, when you use this device, do you show it off to your friends? Do you get they get impressed by
no,
this?
No, I actually have to hide it, otherwise I get caught.
Oh, okay. You might be able to help some other kids out there who use these devices. How do you not get caught?
Well, you have to ask, act casual.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can't just go... Dum 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 dum. Oh, I turned off the TV. Everyone, I turned off the TV. Can't be like that.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. And too many people I know do exactly that, and it's really embarrassing, and it's a surefire way to get caught. At truck stops, you know, this TV sets there, and you don't. You know, a friend of mine once did this, and what was he doing when he turned off the TV? He was wearing a big TV Beyond T-shirt. You know, how smart is that? So obviously it was pretty clear what was going on there. Doctor's office, and did you hit any retail stores ever? Like, a Circuit City or something?
Well, actually...
They don't have those anymore.
Speaking of retail stores, there was at Costco, yes, you know how there's a lot of TVs there?
I do.
I turn them all off.
Hey, Scotty, I had a question for you. Now, what's the policy at school? Can you bring your TV Beyond on campus? Have you had any luck keeping it concealed there? I mean, they have TVs at schools often, so I was just curious about that. Have you had problems with it?
You haven't?
I haven't brought it there yet.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, that could open up all kinds of problems, I'm sure, if you keep turning it off there. Dot Red.
I just want to say, children going to school may not want to bring these things to school. I mean, in general, this is Mitch created these things to help get rid of very annoying devices around the world, but school is a little different. You don't have as much...
Also because you can get in trouble there.
Yeah.
The difference.
Yeah, like in a restaurant, like, you know, you were talking about how you turn it off a couple of times and they'll give up. But if you do that, you know, a couple of times also, like, you know, visiting, they eventually also realize it's you. But there they laugh or they might ask you to turn it back on because they don't know.
However, college students with yes. common shared areas.
Uh-huh. You can get in trouble no matter what, okay. though.
Student yeah. union or like a civic center where it's a cafeteria or something. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. But it sounds like Scotty's on the right track. He's keeping it out of school. You know, he's got it under control. He just takes it to where the community will appreciate him cleaning yeah. up the environment.
Let me ask you one more question, Scott. Go ahead.
Actually take it at the opposite, where they will get annoyed if they figure out who it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they will. But let me ask you one more question. Do you ever walk down a street, for instance, and just sort of aim it at people's houses and either turn on or turn off their TVs that are just sitting there?
Oh, I love doing that.
Okay.
I've actually done it to my friend Jonathan's house, Nick's house, Shane's house.
And they're still your friends. That's
name about a million people I did it to.
All right, so if you're on some part of Long Island and your TV sets keep either going on or off mysteriously and you're friends with a kid named Scotty, you may have just solved the question that's been plaguing you. Scotty, any final words that you'd like to give to listeners or to people thinking of getting a TV be gone?
Make a computer be gone and make a camera be gone.
A camera be gone.
Yes, like, so then when, for example, you know that street thing that takes pictures of license plates?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's called fighting back. That's
well,
really...
technically speaking, well, first off, just need to say that, The method to deal with different technologies isn't always exactly the same as, for instance, a little off button. But for cameras, the equivalent would be using LEDs and having some bright infrared LEDs somewhat close to your face. As far as the camera is concerned, they tend to have a hard time seeing you.
Also, one for maybe smartphones would be kind of cool, Scotty.
I
like that. That would be really, really cool.
Yeah. Scotty, you're still with us, right?
Yep.
Okay, Mitch, are you with us now?
Yes.
I am.
Okay, Scotty, I'd like you to meet Mitch. Mitch is the guy who invented the TV Be Gone. He's joining us on the telephone right now.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Scotty.
Scotty's an 11-year-old user of a TV Be Gone, and he's been going over the various places that he's been causing chaos over the past however many months he's had one.
About a million friends. I made about a million friends go insane.
That's a lot of friends.
Well, the important thing is that
they're not my friends anymore.
The important thing, you basically made the world a better place by turning off a lot of television sets. Listen, I just want to say we need some phone calls. We're telling great stories here, but we're offering this $125 pledge. You'll get your own Super TV Be Gone Pro that you can turn TVs off from a great distance. We have a limited number, 212-209-2950. We need to get some calls coming in so that we can keep this radio station on the air. You can be as happy as Scotty is, and you can show Mitch Altman, who's joining us now on the phone, that these inventions really do serve humanity and are valued. And it's a perfect example of what the hacker world can create. 212-209-2950. Pledge of $125 gets you the Super TV Be Gone Pro. Pledge of $75 gets you the 20 DVD set. So, Mitch, welcome. Anything that you'd like to ask Scotty or tell us or anything?
Yeah, so I have not been listening to the previous conversation, so I'm not sure what kind of chaos has been ensuing as a result of your activities, Scotty. Of course, I created TV Be Gone to spread peace in the world, but of course, mischief is often a lot of fun, too. So, you know.
One word for you.
What's that?
One word for describing what I'm making.
What word is that? Chaos. Is that what you said?
Yep.
Wow. This is the future. This is the future, guy. Chaos. See, it keeps going round
chaos
in circles.
We do need to embrace the chaos in the world because it is part of our reality, and that's why the Chaos Computer Club exists.
Do you know about the Chaos Computer Club, Scotty? It's a group of hackers in Germany that have been around forever. I'm sorry?
Never even heard of it until people now.
Okay, well, they spend all their time listening to Kraftwerk, and I know you like Kraftwerk, so it all ties together. It's amazing. All right, we have three calls on the line. That's great. Let's get a few more. 212-209-2950. Mitch, you want to tell us something about this particular model of TV Begone, what it's capable of?
Yeah, so this one, the original version has one infrared LED, invisible light emitter, which is what all remote controls use for TVs. And it works really well, better range than most remote controls. But the TV Begone Pro, which looks like a smartphone.
That's right, it looks just like an iPhone.
Well, some people say so. But it's a case that I designed myself personally, and it has a sticker in front so that no one really knows what you're doing when you bring it out. It just looks like you're bringing out a smartphone, and you can press its one and only one button, and eight infrared emitters start blinking with very powerful batteries, two of them actually.
I'm sorry, Scotty, go ahead. What?
You have to make sure that they don't see the big logo on the back,
yes.
Well, there's a small logo on the back, and that's my company, Cornfield Electronics, and it says TV Begone Pro on it instead of smartphone model number X. But, you know, most people don't even pay attention when you bring out a smartphone, because how many people don't do it? And, but anyways, the two rechargeable batteries that are in it are two cell phone batteries, appropriately enough, that allow you to turn TVs off from up to 100 meters away.
Whoa.
That's pretty far. That's pretty far. We were talking about how far away that is and what the power that you can achieve. It's incredible. It really is.
Now Mitch, this is the professional model. Do you have to be specially licensed to use it, or can anyone call and pledge $125, 212-209-2950, and receive one of these in the mail and start turning off televisions?
Well, you do need to be a professional to use it. However, anyone who has one suddenly becomes a professional. So please call the number that you just said that I didn't memorize to support public radio and Off the Hook.
212-209-2950. Go ahead, Scotty.
I know what you mean by the professional thing.
Yes. Well, you became a professional as soon as you you started to use it, for sure.
Hey, Manuel.
Yes, go ahead, Bernie.
I understand this is the fifth generation TV Begone. We've had the various iterations of the TV Begone, many of us on the show, but this this latest version, the TV Begone Pro, super high power, it's the equivalent of a flamethrower. This thing just spews. I mean, seriously, it's harmless, but it's
wait, okay,
it's the equivalent
fine
of an infrared flamethrower. It will just blast these infrared commands to turn TVs off, like the distance of a football field, and it doesn't have to be a straight line either. It's so bright you can't see it because it's invisible infrared light, but it'll bounce all over the place. You don't even have to point it at the TV. You can just be anywhere in the room, and it'll bounce all over the place and hit the TV, just because that's how light waves bounce around. It is so cool. Call 212-209-2950. You got to get this thing. It's awesome.
Yeah, I've seen people bounce it off walls and hit TVs that way. You don't have to point directly at it. If you know geometry a little bit, you can do that quite successfully and at great distances. So, it's an incredible toy.
You just point somewhere and it turns them off. Like when we're after Off the Hook a few after the Gen 4 Model Pro, we were doing a drive-by from a bus through the bus window into a bars window, and
multiple bars. Yeah, we were driving down, I think, First Avenue, and just pointing the thing across the street. We're watching the TVs going off, and tonight there's a Ranger game on, and boy, you know, it could really cause all kinds of chaos if you drove around doing that. But they use it responsibly, folks. Obviously, you don't want to cause too much grief.
Yes, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Scotty, we're going to let you go, but I want to thank you so much for giving your input on this and for using the TV Begone Pro responsibly.
Thank you.
All right.
It's been good meeting you, Scotty. Go out there and make the world a better place.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Can you give me 50 more?
You're going to need 50 more. Okay. Well, we'll see what we can do about that, but that's definitely... must have a lot of friends that want one.
Yeah, I hope he keeps up the important research he's doing.
Once you use it, people do want one. Mm-hmm. So if you get one of these, expect people to be crowded around you, expecting you to find one for them as well. 212-209-2950. Remember, a pledge of $125 gets you What's the legal name of it, Mitch? Super TV Be Gone Pro? What is it?
It's the TV Be Gone Pro SHP, Super High Power Universal
okay.
Remote Control. Gen 5.
Gen 5, amazing.
Gen 5, yeah. And I'm working on Gen 6 now, by the way.
Wow, it's like going to turn on the TV sets as far, turn off TV sets as far away as a horizon or something.
Well,
wow.
I'm aiming for a third of a kilometer.
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, at some point, the government is going to get very concerned about your abilities. But
Mitch, you live in San Francisco, which is a built-up place. Where do you find a television a third of a kilometer away that you have a line of sight to?
Well, I do live on top of a house on top of a hill.
And one that's bothering you from a third of a mile away?
Mitch, is that version going to come with...
I have, you know, everyone has their quirks.
Mitch, is that version going to come with a scope?
Lasers.
Including a low-level cloud.
Red laser pointer.
Yeah. Right.
All right. So,
but I just figured that's the most powerful infrared light that I can do without hurting anyone's eyes if they go, is this on? And then point it in their eyes.
Because with infrared in general, you know, that also can transmit heat. If you put your hand in front of the TV Be Gone, would you actually feel that at all, or is it not powerful enough to heat
No,
up?
It's not powerful enough to feel at all. It's a lot of light, and if you put it in your eyes, if you point it in your eyes will, the irises will get small, but it won't hurt you. So I want to make sure that I'm making only the world a better place and not a worse place for any individual.
Yes, absolutely.
If you pointed it at a video camera, would the video camera be completely flooded?
There are a lot of people in the UK who've been playing around with things like that to try to foil security systems, surveillance systems. So if you pointed at a surveillance camera that has facial recognition, it'll see that there's a person there, but it won't be able to recognize the face.
I should point out, too, that this does work overseas. There's a switch between Europe and the United States, so you can just throw that switch and it'll work on TV sets over there. Previous models didn't do this, so you had to get a different model for depending on where you live, but this works everywhere.
I think
it is professional, and it does work in China, too, of course, where I just was a week and a half ago.
You know, this is very fascinating to just think about, that this has gotten bright enough and goes for such an extended period of time that the TV Be Gone now is starting to double as a camera Be Gone at the same time.
Indeed. Okay, we just had two calls come in. That's good. But we have many more people down there. So please, in our last few minutes on the radio, we'd like to give away the remaining Super TV Be Gone Pros that we have. Remember, a range of 100 meters. For Americans that don't know what a meter is,
it's sort of like a yard.
It's sort of like a yard. So 100 yard is like 3 feet, right?
Yeah.
So it's 300 feet. How about that? Okay.
A little more, yeah.
That's pretty far. That's far away. 212-209-2950. Pledge of $125. You'll get your own Super TV Be Gone Pro that looks like an iPhone that you can just simply stand around and look innocent and turn things on, turn things off, TVs specifically. Or if you prefer to have the DVD set, 20 DVDs of various Hope Talks concerning building things and making things and experimenting, including the Steve Wozniak talk, including a couple of Mitch Altman talks. A pledge of only $75 gets you more than 20 DVDs, which are really good watching there. And, of course, if you get both, you can use your Super TV Be Gone Pro to turn off the TV, which is playing those DVDs, if you get tired of them, which I don't think you will do. 212-209-2950. Join the calls on the line right now, because we won't be giving this away next week. I can guarantee that, because we won't be on next week. And in 2 weeks, we'll be doing something else entirely. This is your only opportunity to get these amazing devices. And you can be as adventurous and happy as Scotty was, just turning things off all over the place and getting all kinds of puzzled people surrounding you because they don't know why certain devices are
And you get
off.
The radio station.
Oh, yes. You do get the radio station. That's
comes
us.
Comes with it.
Yeah, you help keep WBAI on the air.
And any pledge also. I mean, you don't have to necessarily pledge for these things. If you want to pledge less or more, or, you know, any pledge is welcome and helps keep the radio
station
going.
There are different premiums back there. This is what we're offering for this hour, and it won't be offered past this hour, which is why we pay particular attention to it. But just to give you an idea, we need to raise $850,000, and that sure sounds like a daunting amount of money. It is. It's a lot of money, but it's how we survive. And considering that we don't have commercials, we don't have any advertising budget whatsoever, we need that money to come in somehow. And the trade-off is, yeah, no commercials. We can have programs like Off the Hook and talk about all kinds of controversial issues and offer things like TV Begons, because you certainly couldn't offer that on a commercial radio station because, well, the TV people would be up in arms because you're interfering with their hold over the populace. Just that alone would be too controversial for them. So anyway, with your phone calls, with your support so far, in the couple of weeks that we've been doing this, we've raised $327,806. So we have a couple of weeks left, and we're going to make our goal of $850,000. With every single phone call that comes in, we get closer. So right now we have two calls on the line. Let's make that five calls, 212-209-2950. $125, get the Super TV Begone Pro, be able to turn television sets on and off from 100 meters away. $75, get the 20 DVD set. $200, get both.
Yeah, Red Hack makes a really good point that if you're not interested per se in anything that maybe is being offered, you don't have enough money for $125. We accept and are very happy for any amount of money that you're willing to give because it helps keep the station alive. However, if you are willing to pledge at least $125 by calling 212-209-2950, you will get this one of these two amazing thank you gifts.
And conversely, we know also that there are many wealthy people out there that don't know where to invest their money, and we can't think of a better place to send a few hundred K our way, or or even just a handful of thick wads of cash. It's tax deductible. It's a very worthy cause. And when you consider this particular radio station itself was a donation, it was a commercial radio station donated to the Pacifica Foundation back in 1960. What an incredible feat that was, just to be able to have a station donated for the cause and to have it stay on the air for over 50 years. Solely through listener support. That is an amazing thing, and you can help that tradition continue by calling 212-209-2950. During the three calls on the line, we got another two calls. We'll reach our five call goal. Bernie, I think you're the person to bring in that next call.
Well, you guys covered it pretty well, but I just want to say this is the radio station that will broadcast stuff that you were afraid to ask that you wouldn't be able to. I'll put it this way: stuff you were afraid to ask. But how can I even say this? Hear about the stuff you were afraid to ask about. We'll just say it without you even having to ask. All kinds of controversial topics, and this particular show, the Hacker Radio Show, we're going to be giving away over 20 hand-picked DVDs of stuff that happened to the HOPE Conference, which we do every 2 years. And it's a foreshadow of what's going to be happening this July, 13th, 14th, and 15th at hope.net. Check that out. But this is great material. We're covering all the kinds of things people do that they're not supposed to do, how to break things, twist things, bend things, make things do what they're not supposed to do in the electronics and telecommunications and computer world. Stuff you're not supposed to be able to do, but you can do it. If you want to get in on this, call 212-209-2950. We'll send you over 20 DVDs of this kind of stuff. Lend them out to your friends, expose them to the hacker world, or get yourself the Flamethrower TV Begone Super Pro High Power, and turn off TVs more than a football field away. Impress your friends. 212-209-2950.
The actual flamethrower is not included.
Well, you could say infrared is a flame of sorts.
You can say anything you want, but we're not offering a flamethrower. We're offering a non-violent peacemaking TV Begone that will help you reduce the amount of noise and pollution in your audio and visual environment.
People are calling asking for flamethrowers. Maybe this is something we should be offering.
It's an infrared flamethrower.
I think they want a real one. Okay, well, you got your other call coming in. 212-209-2950. Thank you for that call. Let's get a couple more before the end of the hour, which is only about 5 minutes away. 212-209-2950. Again, $75 gets you the 20 DVD set, 20 plus DVD set of various Hope talks about building things and creating new technology. $125, you get an example of that new technology. You get your own Super TV Begone that will turn off TVs from a great distance away. It can lean out your apartment window and turn off your neighbor's TV or turn it on. And that's the noise that will greet you once they figure out who did it. It's people don't like it when something unpredictable happens. Bernie, you okay, or is that Mitch, or what's going on over there?
No, that was Mitch. I'm in the big city here in San Francisco.
You didn't just turn off a TV, did you, that you weren't supposed to?
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, like, I made a TV vegan for me, you know, and it turns out that what I loved, other people love too, and I'm lucky enough that I'm making a living doing what I love, and I've been you know, trying to inspire other people to think of this as inspiration for doing what you love. You know, that's what we're doing here at hacker conferences like Hope, at Off the Hook, hacker radio show, and at hacker spaces around the world, inspiring people to explore and do what you love. So, you know, think about what you love. You know, carry around stuff that other people have created, but now think about what you would create if you could create something that you want. You can do it. And there are a lot of people who are way willing to help, and that's what Off the Hook is about. And in many ways, that's what WBAI is about.
All right, we have four calls on the line, and I don't think we have very many more of these left. So if you think of calling, you really need to do it soon, because well, we're off the air in 5 minutes, and we might be running out of these things. 212-209-2950. Again, two pledge levels, 75 and 125. People picking up the phone will be able to help you with all the details. But do make your calls quickly, because, well, we are gonna run out at some point.
Please call 212-209-2950 for the $75 level. You get 20 DVDs of hacking and making and breaking. And then for the $125 level, we're handing out these amazing, super high-distance TV Begone Pros. And I just wanted to add that what's really, really important about making this stuff or being inspired and being able to create things is learning how things work. I mean, yeah, breaking, yeah, you're you know, twisting the way things were intended to be used, but in that process you learn how it's designed, how it works, what the physics of it are, what what the electricity is really doing, and in that sense you can then apply it to your own projects and take it from there.
So. Absolutely. And when you say breaking, breaking is an important part of making. Breaking is an important part of creating. You have to test the limits. You have to experiment. It's like writing a computer program. You have to see what happens if you do this instead of that. It's not destructive. It's how you invent. It's how you progress. And that's a major part of what hacking, or just inventing in general, is all about.
Yeah, and if you are thorough with that, just like if you were building a plane or a rocket ship or something, you know, if you're thorough, you can then present it to other people and they can enjoy it and its reliability and durability. So
absolutely. Yeah. You know, Mitch, I was just thinking, all the HDTV nonsense that we're being subjected to, everything is being cut over to HDTV. You should rename your TV Begone the HDTV Begone, because it works on those too, right? And you might as well.
Of course it does.
Yeah, jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what form the TV is. If it has a remote control, TV Begone will take care of the distraction.
All right, listen, we're out of time, but I encourage people. We have two calls coming in. That might be all we have, but if you know, give it a try. If we have more, we will certainly give you one of them for a pledge of $125. 212-209-2950. TV Begone Pro for $125. $75 gets you the 20-plus DVD set from the Hope conferences. And we won't be here next week. And if you have suggestions for where Kyle and I should go in the UK to take pictures of surveillance items or whatnot, email us, oth@2600.com. Email that address for any feedback to Off the Hook. Mitch, thank you so much for what you do, and we'll see you in person fairly soon.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll be there in a few days.
See y'all. Okay, cool. All right. We'll see you in 2 weeks for another edition of Off the Hook. Have a good night.
All right. Wonderful, wonderful. I love coming on after Off the Hook because they are a great show, and Wednesdays is a great day. Every day is a great day here at WBAI New York 99.5 FM, May the 16th, 2012. And it being Wednesday at 8 p.m., you know what that means? It's time for the Personal Computer Shoe. And on with the shoe.
Good evening, one and all. This is Joe King. Welcome to the Personal Computer Show with Hank Key. You know something?
What?
I think that we also have a representative on the left coast with us tonight.
We do.
His name, probably, I'm guessing, it's a wild guess, David Perry.
Hey!
That would be me. I was going to call myself Wasmo Nariz, but it's already been taken.
Ah.
By whom?
By Wasmo.
Wasmo Nariz.
Ah, okay. We have an interesting show tonight. A lot of you folks may have heard that we're into a membership drive or a fundraising drive or whatever you want to call it. And indeed, we are. But, Hank, we're not going to get into that for quite a while. We have a really good show lined up. For those of you who frequent the WBAI.org website, you've read all about it, and I want to get into it. Later on in the show, we'll tell you how you can become a member of the WBAI family and how you can get premiums and all of that stuff. But for now, I just want to say that if you want to call 212-209-2950, you can. You don't have to wait, and people back there can tell you what's available. But, Hank, I think that before we get started with the show, you have somebody you do want to thank.
Oh, yes. There's a young man, and I assume he's a young man because it seems like everyone is younger than you and myself. His name is Malcolm from Jackson Heights, and we just got a email saying that he made a quick donation, and we thank him. Thank you, Malcolm.
Thank you, Malcolm.
So he's the first one tonight, and more will come along. But before we get into that aspect of the show, Hank?
Well, before we do that, I just want to tell people that sometime, maybe at the half hour, maybe slightly before or after, we actually have Dr. Alfred Poor. He will be joining us on the air. And I asked him a very simple question, and at least the kind of questions I ask are always simple, as you know, Joe. Is
that's because you're simple, honey.
Yes, I'm a simpleton.
Not a simpleton, just simple. There's a difference.
Like, the question I ask him is, what's the difference between a direct lit LED TV compared to an LED-based backlighting TV? And he says, oh, it's easy. And I said,
No, he didn't. You say it's easy. Nobody else in the world says it's easy. You say it's easy. You're given Fermat's theorem, and you're saying solving that is easy. It's taken Fermat 200 years.
What's Fermat's theory?
Fermat.
It's 200 years that's been going on, but you say, oh, that's easy.
Boy, it's a good thing I don't ask you about Boyle's theorem, huh?
No.
You know, I think Heisenberg might have been here.
You know, there's a lot of new TV being introduced, and I went to a store, and to be honest, I saw ones that said direct lit LED, another one says LED based backlighting, and I asked the salesman, and
he told you to call Alfred.
No, the kind of answer he gave me, sort of like, he doesn't know what he's talking about, and I just wanted to know, and I think it'll be interesting. But in the meantime, I have to tell you, my daughter called me up towards the end of last week, and she was somewhat in a state of panic. And I said, okay, what's the problem? She says, her desktop unit stopped working. Can you help out? I says, okay, tell me what the problem is. Well, make a long story short, I diagnosed that the fact that it's either the motherboard or the power supply or something like that. It's basically a dead system. And I said, how old's the system? She said, about 7-8 years old. You know, the one you gave me about 7-8 years ago? I said,
Time
for a new one. So she said, okay, can you make a recommendation on what I should buy? So I understood her needs, and I said, oh, by the way, are the kids going to be using it too? She said, yeah, the kids are going to be using it. So I made a recommendation, and she bought the unit through the online mail, and she ordered it on Thursday, and it came in Friday. And she was very happy. It came in the very next day, which is very unusual to get a complete system. And today is Wednesday, and I really hate to tell her, what I'm going to say on the air. I'm going through the stuff that's available today, and you know, let me tell you what it is. Okay, is that if you buy a Windows 7 system, be it desktop, be it a laptop, and if you buy it after June 2nd, now Stevie's going to find out for me what June 2nd is. What's after June 2nd?
June 3rd.
No. June 3rd is what day? Tuesday, Wednesday,
June Tuesday? 3rd is the 45th anniversary of Billy Joe McAllister jumping off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Oh, okay. Well, if you were to buy a Windows-based system June 3rd and beyond for $15, they will give you an upgrade to Windows 8 Professional.
Now, if you're saying if you buy one with Windows 7 on it or Windows XP on it or Windows ME on it?
Anything that's Windows 7.
That's new.
Yeah.
No, Windows 7.
Windows 7.
But you can get Windows 7 Home Basic and get that for $15. You can go up to Windows 8 Professional.
For $15. No, I said 15.
But you said bought a system with Windows 7 installed on it.
Pre-installed.
Yeah, pre-installed.
By legitimate copy.
Now, gee, I wish I had known about this before I told my daughter to go get a system. But, well, you know, there's an old adage, Joe, and you and I, we've always said it as that. It's not how much it costs. If you need it, you buy it. You know, if you can't wait, if you're running a business,
Hank, that's my philosophy. Your philosophy is a little different. Even if you don't need it, if you want it, buy it.
No. If you can hold off. Now, someone is listening to us tonight, and they said, gee, I was thinking of buying a system in the next week or so, and I would say, if you need it for your business, buy it now. Don't worry about that $15 deal.
Well, there's a big, huge, fuzzy area between need and want. It's not a clear distinction, really.
Yeah, well, can I tell you where that big, fuzzy area is? It's for the kids. Now, is it something that's really needed or it's really wanted?
Well, I have one suggestion for anybody buying a system that kids are going to use.
What's that?
Buy a desktop system. I know this is against, but here's the thing. If you spill a glass of water or a drink on a laptop, it's over for the laptop.
By the way, I got my daughter to buy a desktop. Can I tell you the reason why?
Because the kids would spill water on the keyboard?
No, it's something very different. I have twin granddaughters, okay? They're twins, and they have to share the unit. And she had a laptop, and you know what one does to the other?
Changes the password.
No, she hides.
Picks up the machine.
No. You know what she does with the laptop? She hides it so when she needs it, she has it, and the other one can't find it.
Oh, that's cute.
And I said, who did she learn that from? And I shouldn't have said that. She says, my daughter was pretty grumpy. Must have been from her grandfather.
Well, that's probably true.
Guys?